All right, so how many of you in this room like roller coasters? A few of you do. How many of you actually hate roller coasters? I wasn't a super huge fan of roller coasters growing up. In fact, I was the guy who would never go on them, ever. And then I got married to Dawn. And Dawn, if you get to know Dawn, she is super sweet and kind and quiet. And except for when she goes to amusement parks, then she turns into a crazy person because she wants to go on every crazy ride as humanly possible, dragging me along. So when we first started dating, I finally was like, all right, I'll go on a roller coaster with you, and I did it. And then after I went on my first roller coaster, I was like, oh my gosh, that is like the most fun I've ever had in my life. Like, let's go now all the time. So I have this tendency where if there's amusement parks, I love going on them. So last week when we were in England, we were spending some time with some friends, and we drove past this fair, carnival thing. And so it had this big sign that said American Carnival, because in England, apparently they think that all of us Americans know how to party correctly. So they put American on all the amusement rides. And so I was like, well, let's go to this American amusement park. So my daughter talks me into it, and we go. And we walk in there, and I just notice there's like nobody else there, so we're like the first ones getting to go on these rides. And so we walk up to this ride, and it was one of those rides where it's just a row of seats, and it's like this thing, and it just goes like this. You ever seen that one? All right, and then it goes faster and faster, and then it tricks you, and then it goes back, and it's... So my daughter's like, well, I want to go on this one, because that's how she talks. I want to go on this one. And I was like, all right, let's go on it. So we pay, you know, our money. And you know, in the U.S., when you pay the $100 for the ride, you only get 30 seconds, right? Right? You pay $100, and then you get 30 seconds. It makes no sense, right? So over there, it was like $3 I paid. And I'm like, oh, this will be a quick 30-second ride. And I sit down, but when I sit down, it just so happens that my seat is the seat where all the water in the ride had gotten to. So, I mean, I sit down, and it's like, whoosh, water just goes out my back, and I'm like, seriously? And I look over at my daughter, and my McKenna, and I'm like, hey, are you wet? And she's like, nope, not at all. I'm like, awesome. And so then it starts going. And as I'm going, I swear to you, it was like buckets of water were being poured into my chair, and it's like flying out, and I'm like soaked, and so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And so I get off the ride, and you know, and by this time people have actually kind of gotten in line, and I'm like, I have like water all the way down, and I'm like, it's water, I didn't have an accident, I wasn't that scared. They're like yeah, right. I'm like, no. So we go on this next ride, and this next ride is one of those rides that you sit in. And it's in a half circle, and then it spins like this while it goes around. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right, so I'm like, all right, this will be okay. And so the guy's like, you ready to go? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And I'm thinking, you know, in the United States of America, we have these safety laws where, like, when you get strapped in, they go and stand behind their little thing, and they push the lever, right? So this guy's like, comes over, pushes the lever, and then walks over to us as we start riding. And he's just standing right next to us as we're spinning. And then he grabs it, and he just starts spinning it more than it already is. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So about 3 minutes into it, I swear I'm about to have things happen, all right? I'm just like, oh my gosh. So then I just start praying like crazy. I'm like, please, Jesus, if you just help me not to throw up right now, I will stay a pastor. I will do whatever it is you want. I will raise my children to know Jesus. I'm like, you know, promising all these things. And I'm not kidding. I was on the verge. And the guy's just, he's like watching, and I'm staring at him. He's like, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And so anyway, finally I get done and I get out, and it's like, you know, the steps, I'm just like, it's terrible. But honestly, as I was thinking about that, I'm like praying a ton, and it just dawned on me in the midst of it, I'm having this like conversation with myself as I'm praying a ton. I'm not joking. I was like praying to Jesus that this ride would not like blow up or something. And I'm praying, and it just dawned on me how sometimes, like, isn't it interesting how as followers of Jesus, like, we don't always spend a lot of time praying except for when we're super desperate, right? And it just got me thinking, and so I'm having this, like, dialogue with myself. I'm like, why is it that, you know, the rest of this trip, I haven't spent nearly as much time and as seriously in prayer as in this moment when I'm pretty sure I'm about to die, you know? And it just got me thinking about that, because I think that sometimes the subject of prayer can be really kind of challenging. It can be, you know, like confusing, especially if maybe you're new to church and you didn't grow up around Christians, or you're just not sure what prayer actually is. And so I had this like full-on dialogue in my brain for 2 minutes, and then thank God the ride stopped. But I want to backtrack real quick here, and we're going to read a passage of scripture in a moment here. It'll be on the screen, but I want to back up and just say this. We're in this sermon series right now on the Holy Spirit, and we've done, this is number 8. We've done a bunch of different sermons talking about who the Holy Spirit is. And the reason why we've done that as a church is for a number of reasons, but one of the primary reasons is because as followers of Jesus, we believe that the Holy Spirit is involved in every sphere of our lives. From the ground on up, and our Christian spirituality would not exist if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit. In the same way that Christianity doesn't exist without Jesus, Christianity doesn't exist with the Holy Spirit. Because the Christian spirituality, the tradition that we are a part of, is rooted in a realization and a foundation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, like we as a church would pray constantly, and we would talk to people about the Heavenly Father's love for them, and we want to talk about the grace that we experience through Jesus' work on the cross, and we also want to talk about experiencing the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, when we were thinking and praying about this sermon series, it seemed rather important because so many people were asking us questions in this church about who is the Holy Spirit and how can I grow in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so it seemed important to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. And so we've done that. We've talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We've talked about the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We've talked about the relationship that the Holy Spirit has with communion and with baptism, the sacraments. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit is involved in our own personal spiritual lives. Last week, Crystal Burke delivered a fantastic sermon. If you haven't heard it, you should totally go online and listen to the podcast. But she talked about the spiritual gift of prophecy and the whole idea of hearing from God and how the Holy Spirit can speak to us. And so this week, I want to talk about the relationship between prayer and the Holy Spirit and prayer. That's what I want to spend some time talking about. But I want to do this. I want to read one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We're going to look at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. This is where Jesus teaches on prayer and then helps us understand quite a bit on the relationship between prayer and the Holy Spirit. So this is what the passage of Scripture says. So once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples," Jesus said, "this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them more about prayer, Jesus used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I love this passage of Scripture for a number of reasons. In fact, what I love most about it is because Jesus so clearly connects the kingdom of God, he connects prayer, and he connects the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is like one of the most explicitly clear texts of Scripture where those things are connected. And it's actually, in the Vineyard, this is a huge part of our theological framework. The foundation that we have as a movement is that we see these three things as being intricately connected to our spirituality, the way that we do life, so to speak, the way that we follow Jesus. And so I have loved this passage of Scripture for a long time. And it's one of the passages of Scripture I find myself constantly going back to throughout, you know, my devotional life, I should say, because I find so much meat in it. And so this morning I want to actually talk a little bit about the implications of what Jesus is saying here. And the sermon today is titled, More Prayer, More Holy Spirit, More Holy Spirit, More Prayer. Because I see this cycle, this cyclical pattern here in Jesus' teaching where he seems to indicate that the more that we pray, the more that we can have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And the more that we have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the more that we're going to pray. It's like this really interesting pattern in the passage of Scripture that we just read. But here, before we do that, I want to wrestle with a question that I think some of you may actually be wondering, and it's this. What is prayer? You see, I am convinced that followers of Jesus, especially here in the United States, we have a really, we have the ability to make things like super complicated. In fact, I was just looking at my bookshelf. I probably have over 100 plus books just on prayer. And everybody has a new perspective on prayer and has something to say about the subject. And so I found it really fascinating that when I meet people who are maybe in the process of becoming a follower of Jesus, they're not quite there yet, but they have a lot of questions. And I think it's actually really important for us as a church that as followers of Jesus, we take the time to actually answer people's questions. Does that make sense? Like, I think it's important for us never to have the attitude where we're like, shame on you for asking those questions. You just need to do what we say, because that's not helpful to anybody, right? But that's kind of the impression I think we can sometimes give to people. And so I think it's important that we wrestle with this question of what is prayer, because I think that people who maybe don't have church backgrounds, or even people who have been in the church for a long time, might actually be a little perplexed by this idea of prayer. And so I want to answer this question of what is prayer. And I have a really, really, really long, very challenging, complex definition for this this question. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. Period. Okay? It's just communication with God. Prayer is also a super formative practice, though. Here's what I love about prayer, is that prayer actually shapes us. Prayer forms us. Prayer has this uncanny, totally Holy Spirit, supernatural, miraculous way about it, where it actually changes us oftentimes more so than the situations or the people that we're praying for. Like, let me give you a really good example of that. I know everybody in this room can think of someone right now. If I said, hey, think of someone that you really just cannot stand and you want to, you know, do mean things to. Everybody in here is probably thinking of somebody. Yeah. Oh, some of you are wanting to volunteer to tell us. All right. So, like, super easy, though, right? Like, you can think of someone who, you know, like, they just frustrate you, and when you're around them, you know, whatever. Like, I always think of my kids. Moving on. So, anyway, it's like, it's interesting to me, though, is that when you start praying for the people that you find to be frustrating in life, God has this way of actually giving you a different way of looking at them. It's like situations just totally change. People totally change. Because when you start praying for them, what I think happens supernaturally is I think God actually gives us a bit of his heart for that person, that situation, in that moment. And that's why I think prayer is a formative practice. It isn't just about us asking God to change things and change people. It actually has this uncanny ability to actually change us and to help us to accept situations and to continue to persevere through them. And so prayer is a really powerful thing. And then it's just basically communication with God. I think it's also important to remember really quickly, if you've grown up in church, you have heard somebody do this, but it's important to realize that prayer does not require $50 words when you're talking to God. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I went to this when I was like I was probably 13, 14 years old, I went to this friend's church of mine, and they were having a prayer meeting, and I was like, all right, I'll go to this prayer meeting, because there's some cute girls there, might as well check it out, okay? That's honestly what it was. So I go there, and I walked in the room, and there were all these adults sitting in a circle, and they just started using words I literally had no idea what they were saying, and they were just super eloquent, you know, $50 words, they sounded really smart, and it's no different than some people thinking sometimes that God requires us to speak to him in Old English, right? Oh, thine will be done, for thee are almightieth. You know, it's like, I can't even do it. That's not how God requires us to pray, though. And I think this is important for our understanding about prayer, because when we break it down to just being communication with God, here's my point, is that God just wants you to talk to him. He just wants you to communicate with him in the same way that you would talk to, you know, a person you're sitting with. You just can talk to God that way. This is how one of my favorite theologians, Jürgen Moltmann, he breaks it down like this. Just listen to this. This is a long quote, but listen to how he's getting to the heart of what I'm kind of saying here. He says this. He starts off by saying, only hired servants beg from their masters. which is a perplexing and challenging concept to some of our thinking about prayer. But he says, only hired servants beg from their masters. Children talk trustfully and confidently to their mothers and fathers about the things that are on their minds. As we do in a family, we tell God about our joys and our suffering because we know how lovingly God shares in our lives. For God is a lover of life. Only servants come to their masters solely with their requests and demands, otherwise preferring to keep well away from them. Pause for a minute. Do you understand how he's challenging some of our perceptions of prayer, though, right? He's challenging that, those notions. And he says this. He says, we pour out our hearts to God as we do to an understanding friend. And when we pray for other people or tell God our wants and desires, we are advising him in his government of the world, but we don't coerce our heavenly friend with our plans and intentions. We respect his freedom. Talking to God and listening to him in this freedom, which is the expression of great love, is prayer in the Holy Spirit. This is the way God's friends pray. What I love about Moltmann's thinking here is that what he does is he pushes back against any of the assumptions that we have about our relationship with God. Like, we shouldn't approach God as if we're just a bunch of hired hands or that we can't just go to him about anything. What Moltmann actually does for us is he says that we can approach God through a particular lens, and that particular lens is relationship. We can actually speak to our Creator through the lens of relationship because that is how he has designed us, and that is actually how he wants us to live our lives. So that's what prayer is. Essentially, prayer is communication with God. So another question I think we can wrestle with for a few moments here is, how is the Holy Spirit related to prayer? Because I think it's well and good to say that prayer is communication with God, but as we've been talking about for the last, you know, 8 sermons, we've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. The question naturally should hopefully be this morning, how is the Holy Spirit involved in our prayer? Or what does Holy Spirit-inspired or empowered prayer look like? Like, what does that look like? And so I think our sermon's title this morning, More Prayer, More Holy Spirit, More Holy Spirit, More Prayer, tells us everything about the relationship with the Holy Spirit in our communication with God. I do believe that. But what I think is important to flesh out is that the more that you pray, the more that you have evidence of the work of the Spirit. The more that you have the Holy Spirit filling your life, the more that you're going to want to go to sleep. I don't know. The more that you're going to want to pray, right? The more that you have the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, the more that you're going to want to pray. In fact, I think it's absolutely critical for us to buy into this statement here, is that prayer is an evidence of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know an evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, look at your prayer life. If you have desires to communicate with God, that is an evidence of the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at this subject of the Holy Spirit and prayer, I think we can ask this question. We can say, well, how is the Holy Spirit related to prayer? And I have 3 different ways this morning how the Holy Spirit is related to our prayer lives, okay? And the first one is this. Spirit-empowered prayer is prioritized. So you might have grown up in a church tradition that prayed the Lord's Prayer. Anybody in the room grow up praying the Lord's Prayer in your church background? Okay, so some of you have. In fact, and some of you didn't even know that's a thing. In fact, I remember one Sunday we tried to do that here at the Vineyard, and it was hilarious because people were like, what are we doing right now as we were praying it? But there's actually church traditions that every single time they gather together, they stand up together and they say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And they go through the whole entire Lord's Prayer. But what's fascinating about the Lord's Prayer is that it's not so much about what to pray, it's more about how to pray. And so while I think it's totally good, and we will do it here at the Vineyard, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer, what's most important is not what we pray, the specific words, it's actually how we pray. And what we need to realize is that Spirit-empowered prayer is prioritized. And that's what Jesus does for us, is he helps us see that our prayer lives should be prioritized on Jesus and the kingdom. That's why he starts off by saying, Our Father who art in heaven. He starts off with theology, God. Who is God? He is our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, may you be worshipped. May you be set apart. May you be sacred. And then he says this, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, where there's a longer version of the Lord's Prayer. He says, Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And I think it's safe to say that hopefully everybody in this room would agree that we all want more of the kingdom of God to be breaking into our world, right? I mean, like, when I was in, in England, I was just reading news, and so what's interesting is all the news sources I go to on the internet, I type in those web addresses, and it would take me to the international version because I'm not in the United States. And so all I was doing was reading international news. I don't know if you know this, but our world desperately needs the kingdom of God to be breaking into our world. Like, desperately needs it. In fact, I mean, that's the only solution I can come up with to all the challenges that we have in our world. And so I love how Jesus prioritizes prayer in a sense that there are certain priorities that we need to place above other priorities. And the first priority is the kingdom. So Spirit-empowered prayer is going to be prioritized on that. It's going to center itself on that. The second way that the Holy Spirit relates to our prayer is Spirit-empowered prayer is persistent. I love this passage because Jesus actually says that those who are persistent are rewarded. In fact, he fleshes out this entire story where he says, hey, listen, imagine you're sleeping and somebody comes to your house and starts banging on the door. Imagine it's your best friend. Well, I don't know about you, but if it's 3 a.m., I'm not even going to get up, right? He says, well, hold on. People will get up and they will answer your petitions if you keep on sticking with it. And he's trying to say, how much more so your heavenly Father? Right? And so persistent pays off. And I think this is a really important thing for us to camp out on for a few minutes here. Okay, so kind of a rabbit trail, but how many of you have found that prayer can be kind of a challenging thing because when you prayed for people, what you were asking God to do didn't happen? Right? I mean, I pray for people all the time, and sometimes God does these crazy, awesome, miraculous things, and then there's also been times where God doesn't do what I'm asking. You know, I mean, I can tell you story after story of people that I prayed for that God would heal them and they didn't get healed. And then, unfortunately, later on, they pass away. And then the question is like, well, where was God there? And so prayer is, I think it's a challenging thing. If we are honest and if we actually are willing to engage in reality, so to speak, and not just play church, so to speak. I think that this is an important thing, though, because what I have seen is this, is that I think God rewards persistence. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. So, for instance, if you've received prayer before for a chronic illness and you just have not had God relieve that, the question is, well, what should I do now? And I would just tell you that I think that what we keep doing is keep praying for you. We keep on praying and we keep on praying and we keep on praying, and we're going to be right alongside you throughout that whole entire challenge because we do believe that God does heal people and he does act miraculously. And so persistence in essentially what Jesus is saying here is it pays off. Persistence is important. And another little rabbit trail, while we're down here, is I think when we talk about prayer, we oftentimes think about prayer just through the lens of like me talking to God, right? Like prayer is me communicating to God. But prayer is really a two-way conversation. And so I think we need to be persistent in praying and asking God for things, but we also need to be persistent in listening because God actually speaks back to us. And that was like the whole point that Crystal had last week is that God speaks through scripture, he speaks through creation, he speaks through our experiences, and he speaks supernaturally through certain spiritual gifts. So God speaks back to us. So we need to be persistent in asking God to act on our behalf or to reconcile situations or to change different things. But we also need to listen to God's responses to that. We need to be persistently poised in that way where we actually want to hear from him. And the third way, so the first is Spirit-empowered prayer is prioritized. Secondly, Spirit-empowered prayer is persistent. And thirdly, Spirit-empowered prayer is passionate. So our church, the Vineyard, it's hard to like pin down exactly what kind of church we are now because we're part of a movement that is super diverse. In fact, you can go to vineyards all over the world and you might find them to be really different than this church. And that's because over the last 30 plus years, we've had a lot more theological influences and our churches have grown. We have about 3,000 churches all over the world. And so, like I said, they're all kind of different. But one thing that the Vineyard movement has always been committed to is being people of the Spirit. That's why we always say that our favorite prayer is come, Holy Spirit. Like that's our go-to prayer, right? I mean, if you're in a situation, no matter what it is, that's a very safe prayer to pray. Amen? Amen? Right? Like, you need help for something, you can say, come, Holy Spirit, and that's something that is safe. So we've always been a movement that is focused on Jesus, the kingdom, and the work of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that's kind of set us apart from other traditions, other movements, which doesn't mean we're better than anybody. It's just the things that we have been committed to. But what's interesting about that is that growing up in the Vineyard movement, I've gone through I've seen this development over the course of my life. Is I remember 30 years ago when it was like not very cool and it was somewhat controversial to be considered charismatic. And if you've been in church for a long time, what I'm getting at is that there used to be churches back in the day who would say, oh, if you're into the Holy Spirit, you're wacky and weird and, you know, you're a little too questionable. Now, truth be told, that's probably true about most of us. But at the same time, too, it's also a little unhelpful, too, because I think what that's done is it's caused a lot of people to be afraid of the Holy Spirit or to be afraid of pursuing the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But if we root our theological beliefs and our practices in Scripture, and we look at Scripture and we allow that all that God's Word says to us to shape how we think and how that we act, then we have to realize that from top to bottom, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And the church was never supposed to be a community of people who didn't lean heavily into the work of the Spirit and didn't passionately pray, Holy Spirit, come and empower me to be a good father or to be a good friend or to live my life in a way that is influential for the kingdom. And so I think it's important that we realize that passion for Jesus and passion for the kingdom and passion for prayer, passion for the Holy Spirit is okay. And not only is it okay, it should be encouraged. In fact, we will never be the church that you know, if you're a little too passionate, we're going to be like, hey, you need to calm down. Right? I mean that within reason, because I know some of you are like, sweet, I'm bringing my shofar and my flags next week. Didn't say that. But what I mean by that is that we really want to be a church community that encourages your passion for Jesus. And if you want more of the Holy Spirit, it's totally okay. And not only is it okay, this is what Jesus says. He says, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for Him? I mean, that's a great promise for us as a community, is that the more that we want the Spirit's work in our lives, the more that we can actually experience it. And it's a really good promise to that. So here's one caveat about that, though. Because I always have this fear, maybe it's not a fear, but it's a concern. Concern's a better word. I had this concern that, you know, someone in this room right now is like, yeah, I need to pray more, and I need to be more passionate for Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning at 4:30 a.m., and I'm going to pray for 12 hours straight, and I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. And I'm committing to it right now in the name of Jesus. And then what happens is tomorrow morning at 4:30, you get up, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. I'm so spiritual. Do you have your cup of coffee? Like, I'm going to pray now, and you start praying, and you pray about everything you've ever thought of, and you're, like, so excited because you're, like, in the prayer moment, and you're like, oh, my gosh, oh, I just prayed for everything. How long has it been? And it's been literally 3 minutes, and you're like, what am I going to do now for the rest of the day? And it's like we just have this ability sometimes in our spirituality where we are excessive, and we just make promises, and it's not a long-term sustainable hunger or passion for Jesus. And so this is a caveat, just a suggestion is this, because I've seen this happen, and a number of years ago, I heard this woman speaking, and it was a fantastic message, and she said this, and I wrote it down in my Bible because it was one of those like statements that I was like, oh my gosh, this is so true. It's right there. This is what she said. She said, it's easier to be excessively fanatic than to be consistently faithful. And in charismatic type churches, I think that's quite true. That we can be really excessively fanatical in that moment to where we've experienced the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and we're so excited and we make all these commitments and then a week later it's like we just kind of fall off the mat. I want to be the kind of follower of Jesus who is excessively fanatic, but I also want to do it in a long-term sustainable way, which means this for those of you that want to, increase your prayer life. You do not need to make a promise this evening or this morning or whenever you're going to make your promises to spend the next 24 hours in prayer for the rest of your life. How about you just start praying every day for 5 minutes and just do that for the rest of your life? And then maybe you add 5 minutes, you know, over the course of the next couple of months. I mean, I think that can be just as passionate for Jesus and the kingdom as the person who, you know, who like is a shooting star and starts out really good but then drifts off. And so I think that Jesus actually helps us also see throughout scriptures is that being passionate for the Holy Spirit's presence doesn't just have to be like a one-time thing. In fact, if anything you've gotten over the last 8 sermons, I hope you see that the Holy Spirit is involved in everything. Not just the things that we think are important, but He's involved in every aspect of our spiritual lives. He's involved in our coming to faith. He's involved in our sharing our faith. He's involved in the way that we live our lives. He's involved in baptism. He's involved in communion. He's involved in our singing. The Holy Spirit is involved in our relationships. He's involved in the conflicts that we have. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely, critically involved in our prayer lives. Let's stand up together. So obviously, well, maybe this isn't obvious. I use that word sometimes. Maybe it's not so obvious, but it would seem that in our church gathering this morning, to talk about prayer it'd be important to have space for prayer. Amen? Like, it'd be kind of weird if we're like, prayer's important. You should do it more. Goodbye. Have a nice life. So we want to just take a few minutes here and have some space for people to receive prayer. And that's just a thing that we value as a church. And my assumption is that there's people in this room who have needs. I think that there's a lot of people in this room that have needs. And whether you feel comfortable receiving prayer for that is obviously totally up to you. But if you wouldn't mind, if you're comfortable just closing your eyes right now so you can just focus on God or focus on what the Holy Spirit might want to do in your life. Maybe you just want to be able to think for a few minutes here. But I have just a couple questions. But one question I want to start out with this morning is this. What is one need that you have in your life? What is one need that you have? Maybe it's a relationship need. Maybe there's some friction you have with somebody that you're in a relationship with. Or maybe there's financial needs you have. Or maybe there's somebody in your family that you've been praying for that you just really, really want God to minister to them and draw them to himself, and you want them to come to a place of knowing how much God loves them. Whatever you need, and maybe your need is not even close to anything I've said, but what is one need that you have this morning? What is one need you have, and what would you like God to do in that situation? So Holy Spirit, would you right now help some of us in this room if we're having, we're finding it challenging to identify one need, maybe because there's so many, but God, I also believe that you care about every situation, and even the things that might feel like they're insignificant, you do care about. And so would you help some of us in this room who are just struggling to identify one need? Would you just pop something into our minds right now? So just for those of you in this room, if you've identified something that you need God to do, just keep that right now in the back of your mind for a moment. But as I was praying this morning, I really felt like there's a number of you in this room who, in fact, this entire time I've been speaking, as I've been, you know, talking about prayer and how God wants us to communicate with him, you may have been feeling like that does not apply to you, and you've been feeling like God doesn't hear your prayers, and for whatever reason it is in your past, you just cannot accept the idea that God actually wants to have a relationship with you, and that he is listening, and he actually wants to have a communicative relationship. And if that's you here this morning, I want to pray for you. I really do believe that God wants to break those walls down, and he wants you to know how much he actually desires to have a relationship with you. And then the last thing I just felt like as we were singing this morning, I felt like the Lord was just saying that there's a number of you in this room that just lack confidence. And as soon as I said that, you know who you are. But I felt like the Lord was saying, you don't speak up and you feel like you can't stand up for your beliefs oftentimes because you just don't have the confidence to believe that you actually are, you matter and you're valuable to God and that your perspective is important. And so if there's any needs in this room, if you came up with a need and you're like, oh man, I totally need God to do this for me. I need God to act in this situation. Or if you're here this morning and you feel like, yeah, that's me. I struggle with the idea that God actually wants to hear my prayers and wants to have a relationship with me. Or if you're here this morning and you are that person who you lack confidence and you really struggle with sharing your views and you always feel like it's not a safe space, I would love to pray for you this morning. And I know that there's a number of other people that would love to pray for you this morning. And so here at the Vineyard, what we're going to do is we're just going to invite you to come forward if you feel comfortable with that. We have a number of people that would love to pray for you. But right now, if you feel like you have some prayer needs, just feel free to come forward right now, and we would love to pray for you.